Casting FM 102.1, Governor's Park, downtown Denver, Colorado. We've been in the building again for another week, and I want to welcome in Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL / fantasy football guru himself, live and on the airwaves, Mr. Sean Naylor. What's going on, man?
What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. So, We in this little doldrum period here in the off season, where you just pray. If you're a fan of a team, you just pray that everybody stays out of trouble, and nobody gets arrested or gets hurt doing something stupid at home before training camp, and you just want to make it through these next couple weeks.
I guess if you're a Cowboys fan, that just went out the window.
Look. I'm going to say the same thing about the Cowboys that I said about the Oakland Raiders. And it's something bad to say, but I think Jerry Jones got that team cursed.
you know who cursed that team?
Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, look, anytime you just fire up a Hall of Fame coach, and Jimmy Johnson is a Hall of Fame coach. Anytime you just fire a coach like Jimmy Johnson after you just won two Super Bowls back-to-back, and you just say, you know what, I don't really like you, so I'm just going to fire you. You curse the franchise, man. Like, they haven't been successful ever since. They hadn't been back to a Super Bowl, hadn't been back to an NFC Championship game. Well, I mean, the year after when they brought in Barry Switzer, I mean, he pretty much piggybacked off of that was Jimmy Johnson team. He just got paid to stand on the sideline. They didn't really need him to do anything. So, you know, that would have really been Jerry Jones' championship. So. I mean, they cursed, though. Same way with Al Davis with the Raiders when he was alive. And, I said it, too. The Raiders won't be relevant again until Al Davis pass on because the guy was just, you know, I don't know if it was old age or if it was, you know, him just being him. But he wasn't making the right moves. And he wasn't looking at the proper measurables and things on players. He was just saying, oh, that guy's fast, sign him. That's all he cared about was speed. If you can run like an ostrich or like a cheetah, you can play for the Raiders. You ain't got to be good. Just be fast. And that's what, you know, that's what I kind of feel like Al Davis was. Now, leading back to Jerry Jones, this guy doesn't have any common sense when it comes to troubled players. Like, you can't just sign every player that's got a drug problem and then be surprised when they get busted. I mean, like, really?
I mean, they're not an AA class.
No.
They're a professional football team. In the huddle, we can't be like, well, my name is Randy Gregory, and I'm addicted to marijuana. We can't do that in the huddle. We got to be calling plays, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, four, half your defensive line rotation is suspended on a drug suspension. I mean, come on.
Like, and then Damian Williams was arrested last night for felony weapons charges.
Jeez, man. I'm telling you, dude, this man got a knack for signing bad, just, you know, reckless players off the field.
And Nolan Carroll, they brought on Nolan Carroll, and what, 2 days after he was signed in free agency, he was arrested on DUI or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Carlton just asked in the chat room, he said, Dallas even have a defense? I don't think they do.
Not anymore. No, I mean, Like half the defense due back by week six. That, but that's if they come back. But
you'll be out of it by then.
Yeah.
you could be sitting a game. You could be sitting two games behind the Eagles in fourth place.
That's messed up, man. Two games behind the Eagles.
I would be standing on my high horse. My horse would be on cloud nine, and I'd be on top of the horse if that was the case.
Oh, boy. But we have a special guest on the line. Left field correspondent Carlton Cook has found. What's going on, man? Oh, you know he had to.
Governor's Park.
His ears were burning.
Yeah.
Hey, good evening, fellas.
Good evening.
Good evening, see?
Send a quick shout out to Gabriel, our baseball correspondent, home run fella, and Nicholas Lane, a.k.a. My Boo Swaggy P.
My Boo. My Boo Swaggy P. He do love Swaggy P.
I'm going to make this quick. Again, Governor's Park, what's that? Make this real quick, though. All right. We in the huddle. Cowboys huddle. Four-game suspension on three. One, two, three. Four-game suspension. Great. Oh, left field correspondent, I'm out.
Jeez, man. You know what? That's got to be one of the best entrances and exits I've ever heard. All he wanted to do was say four-game suspension, and then he just peaced out. Like, hey, that's all I want to say. Four-game suspension on three. One, two, three, four-game suspension. Left field correspondent out. This is the type of stuff you get with the Rat Pack. Nah, don't be fooled. Carlton Cook is a regular on the show, but sometimes this is the type of stuff he does. See, he came in as the left field correspondent, Carlton Cook. Then he had I don't know what he was thinking, but he said, you know what? I want to be taken serious. So instead of being the left field correspondent, I just want to be known as the correspondent. So I was like, okay. The correspondent, Carlton Cook. Then about a couple months later, he was like, you know what? No, I want to go back to left field correspondent. So he's back at the left field correspondent. And this is what the left field correspondent, Carlton Cook, does. So it's about having fun. He want to have fun. We have enough listeners. We have a lot of people that support our station. We appreciate it. But this show is about impromptu and just spontaneous, go with the flow. We talk about whatever we talk about. There's no notes. We don't do notes. We go out the whim every week. Carlton Cook is one of the best when he's just going out the whim, and we appreciate that from him. So appreciate him calling in, and I didn't know it was going to be that quick, but that was pretty quick.
We all right.
Yeah. So, back to the Dallas Cowboys, because we weren't finished with Jerry Jones. Remember way back in the days when Sean Salisbury and John Clayton was on the air at ESPN? And this was the last time you ever saw Sean Salisbury. I don't know what happened. If he might have got blackballed out of broadcasting, because since this incident happened, I've never heard Sean Salisbury on any radio station, any other TV network. He just disappeared. Remember when him and John Clayton was getting into it they was live on the air. And they was going back and forth. And Sean Salisbury made the mistake and called my man John Clayton Skeletor. You notice after that?
I do remember that.
Nah, it put two and two together. Did you hear Sean Salisbury after that happened? He just disappeared. He just disappeared,
I mean, that was
dude.
A while ago, so I got to go back in the archives. I mean, I probably did, but I don't remember it.
Dude, once that incident happened, ESPN let Salisbury go, and that was it. Like, maybe I wasn't paying attention enough, but he just fell off. He just fell flat off the earth. Well, going back to the Skeletor comment, Jerry Jones, you're getting there, buddy. You're getting there. Skeletor need to let go and let his son run the team, because at least his son had the sense enough to say, Dad, we're not signing Johnny Manziel. Because I guarantee you, if Jerry Jones had it his way, Johnny Manziel would be a Dallas Cowboy right now.
Easily.
And his son stopped him. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, Dallas with, you know, Jerry Jones just not doing the right things for the team. Now it's become his hobby. I don't think he's making team decisions. He's making Jerry Jones decisions. And it's hurting the franchise. Even though they had a great season last year, I don't think they're going to repeat that. I don't think they're going to repeat what they did last year. Sophomore year for the quarterback, sophomore year for the running back. They did lose some depth on that offensive line. So that's going to affect them.
And they're losing their entire defense.
Yeah, and the entire defense is gone because they don't know how to put the drugs down. So
suspensions, and I mean, they lost not only suspensions, but they lost their entire secondary to free agency.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got a conversation here going in the Rat Pack group, and every week I tell everybody we the best sports talk show that. I feel like we can compete with anybody. That's just me. I know there's some other people that believe that. All of us here at Rat Pack Sports Show believe that. But we got a ticking time bomb here, folks. It's only a matter of time before we knock somebody off the mat. With the Rat Pack Sports Show, we coming, man. We coming. Carlton Cook, my man Gabriel Ballman, Nicholas Lane, Sean Naylor, Chester. Am I missing anybody? Oh, my man Chris Garandola. There's a lot of people involved in this. It ain't just me. You hear my voice a lot more than everybody else, but there's some behind the scenes. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that you don't hear a whole lot. And, real quick shout out to all of them folks. Oh, and my man, y'all remember this guy, Seminole Buccaneer, Mr. Keith Larson. Y'all ain't heard from him in a while, but he's still around. He's still around.
Oh yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, he's still around. But Carlton says Rat Pack is Jeter, Jordan, Bear Sanders, all in one, untouchable. I'll take that. I agree with that. So I just wanted to pump our chest a little bit.
hey, that's all good. Get us ready. You know, we are less than 2 weeks away from training camp.
Oh yeah, is it that close?
Well, let's see. Well, we're July 5th tonight.
Somebody be reporting. Because
we're 20 days. We're 20 days. So not less than 2 weeks, less than 3 weeks.
Okay.
We're 20 days away. So, I mean, we've got to start thinking, you know, there's going to be some, we've got,
we've
got 12 days till the franchise tags can be signed, or they have to play under the franchise tags. There's 12 days remaining in that. I don't see either one of the two big names that are out there on franchise tags, actually three, because Tremaine Johnson is still on the franchise tag for the Rams. You got three big names still out there on franchise tags. You got Le'Veon Bell, you've got Kirk Cousins, and you've got Tremaine Johnson. And honestly, I don't know if any of them are going to sign long term. I haven't heard anything in regards to negotiations with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. Cousins, the latest I heard there is that Dan Snyder would rather pay him extra to stay in Washington than see him play in San Francisco in 2018. So that kind of tells me that, you know, they're willing to dish out a little bit of money. I think you're going to see Kirk Cousins get somewhere a little bit north of Derek Carr when it's all said and done. I think you're going to see Cousins somewhere in that, possibly in that $27, $28 million range.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. And then Tremaine Johnson, I don't know what the Rams are doing with him. You know, it's that's all up in the air. I don't know if they want him long term. He says that he probably won't play under the tag. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that come the 17th. But, you know, those things happen, and then once the 17th hits, you know, we're a week away from the start of training camp. And once training camp hits, it's all downhill from there, brother.
Yeah. 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 All right. So, Carlton Cook. Remember I told you guys he's best as the left field correspondent? Well, we got some breaking news from Carlton Cook. So, Y'all make sure y'all pay attention to this breaking news. Cleveland Browns whole front office found drunk thinking the draft is next week.
Oh.
He's on the road tonight. He's on the road tonight, bud.
He is on the road tonight.
Yeah, fake news.
However, I think he's going to be a little bit disappointed in the Cleveland Browns.
He might. You know, they might actually be okay this year. They may
might actually win 7 or 8 games this year.
Yeah, they may get to a point where we can't pick on them no more. We got to find somebody else to pick on.
Oh, that's easy.
Who is that? Cowboys?
The Jets.
Oh. The Jets. Forgot about the Jets. About the Jets.
When your starting quarterback can't even, you know, when he hits, well, not their starting quarterback, but the backup quarterback in 7-on-7 drills or whatever during minicamp hits reporters on the sidelines when he's trying to throw passes to his wide receivers, there's problems.
Which backup? They got a bunch of them.
That was let me think back. I believe that was Hackenberg.
Oh, the guy that they drafted?
The guy they drafted last year out of Penn State.
Yeah.
Jeez. Who they want to be the number two. McCown is going to be their starter.
Oh, man. That guy. How does that guy keep finding starting jobs?
Well, here's the thing with Josh McCown. He's serviceable as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Is he going to win championships? No.
No.
Is he capable enough to win you 6-7 games? Yes. If you had the right defense and the right people around him, he might even get you 8 or 9 games. But he's not talented enough to win games in the playoffs. He's not talented enough to win big games to where you have to put the game on his shoulders. He's not that kind of quarterback. But he's serviceable. And I think that the Jets are in a rebuild. We all know that. They sold almost everything. I mean, they got rid of David Harris or whatever his name was. They cut him after being with the team for 10 or 11 years. They got rid of Eric Decker. They got rid of, they went on this fire sale a couple weeks ago and cleared a bunch of salary. They get a quarterback such as McCown to be the starter. They could have had an opportunity at a Jay Cutler. I think he was the, I think the Jets were actually one of the only legitimate teams to contact Cutler before he decided to go to the announcing booth. They drafted, I like their draft pick in Jamal Adams. I really like him at the safety out of LSU. I think he's solid and he's a good person to build around. But the bad thing is, okay, you sell all this stuff off, you get rid of all this, and if you really are going into the suck for Sam, and we're referencing the quarterback at UCLA, Sam Rosen, if we really are going into the suck for Sam doldrums, then what are you going to do with Todd Bowles? Because you know that you're not going to win, eight games. You know that. You're a 4 or 5 win team at best.
Yep.
So is Todd Bowles sitting there as just a lame duck coach who knows he's going to be fired at the end of 2017? Or has Todd Bowles been given an assurance that 2017 will not be a lame duck year for him because of what they've done?
Yeah, he might have. He may have got a little insurance. Maybe.
I for Todd Bowles' sake, I hope so, because what he did in 15 was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they had some runs of bad luck last year in 16. And that happens. You know, Fitzpatrick didn't play worth the money that he wanted. I hope for Todd Bowles, because I really like Todd Bowles. I think he could be a very good head coach in this league.
Yep.
And I really hope that they gave him some assurance that, okay, we're going to sell all this off. We're going to rebuild for the next 2 years under you. We're going to get you a solid quarterback. We're going to get you a solid running back. I mean, they got Forte, but Forte's getting long in the wheel. They got to get some young legs in there. Hopefully, like I said, for Todd Bowles, he has been given that assurance that they're going to rebuild under him, that they're going to move forward in a positive manner, and that he's not going to be released after 17.
All right, we got some more breaking news from Carlton Cook, the left field correspondent. Breaking news here out of L.A. Rams want to move back to St. Louis and redo the Jared Goff pick. And we know how he feel about Jared Goff pick. That was a bad pick for him the second they drafted him.
Yeah.
Now, I actually tried to stick up for Goff, but then he actually got to play last season, and I can't stick up for that.
It was a bad season to try to stick up for him.
Yeah.
See what he does in 2017, and then if he doesn't make those strides, then you can't stick up for him anymore. But you still got to give the kid – he played on a poor team last year, a very poor team. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you watched the the Amazon video or the YouTube video of Jeff Fisher when he announced to the team that he got fired?
No, but I saw it on Facebook. I didn't get a chance to actually click it and watch it.
Dude, when the show is over,
yeah,
find it, click it, and watch it.
Is it because funny?
I'll tell you what. You, as a football fan, even though you might not, you know, might not have liked Jeff Fisher, wanted him gone or whatever, but the moment that he says, "I've just been fired," you feel like you were in that room. And the balloon deflates with you.
It's that,
you can feel it. You get into it, you're watching, you know, they're talking about pregame and they're getting in, and all of a sudden he's like, "Well, I'm not going to be a part of it. I was just fired."
Hold on, so he got fired while they were doing the game plan? Or?
He got fired midweek.
But they didn't know before he told them in his video.
The guys didn't know, and then he comes into the meeting, and he's, you know, they're getting ready to prep for whatever, and he goes, "Well, I'm not going to be a part of it. I was just fired."
Damn. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that, man.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's just a guy saying, you know, it's an NFL coach telling his the rest of his staff that he was fired, and it's just, you know. But I mean, you're watching it, and you're like, the way the whole room just deadens. I mean, the whole coach's room just deadens. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out. So. I'm looking here, and I guess they've come out with a new body issue for ESPN. You see some of the players on this issue now?
Then they got Julian Edelman as one of them.
They got Julian Edelman on one. Ezekiel Elliott, we know he loves his body because he can't stop showing his abs.
With his half shirt on the red carpet of the.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Look, if you think that's a thing, cool. Not for me. That's a little sweet. I'm sorry. Even if you don't go that way, it looks sweet. Like, I'm playing sports. If somebody say, "Hey, man, let you know," because some guys, when I play ball, flag football, they like to, you know, take their shirts and tie them up in the back. That's cool. But when you just walking around, you on the red carpet, and you got a tuxedo with the undershirt cut off at the halfway point, and your stomach just saying, "Man, look, I don't give a crap about your ass, bro." Like, nobody wanna see that. And that looks fruity at the same time. Like, you might as well took your shirt and tied a knot in the front. Cause that's what it looked like to me. But that's
like
just me.
2 meters off the longest yard?
Yeah. Tracy Morgan. In the longest yard, yeah. Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. But yeah, they got Zach and his wife Julie Ertz. They in the issue. Edelman, Ezekiel Elliott. I don't watch. I mean,
I've never looked at the issue.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I think Odell Beckham is. Hold on. Who is this? AJ Andrews, she plays softball. Javier Baez, baseball. I don't know that fashion way. Like, who at ESPN say, "You know what? we kind of running out of things to do. So how about every year we publish a body issue of the magazine and we just have a bunch of sports athletes like naked? I think that'll do very well. Now, obviously it must be doing something because they keep doing it. But
the fourth issue, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's like the fourth or fifth issue or something like that. So it must be getting good reviews. Obviously, shoot, I'm talking about it, but we talking about it here on the show. But the only reason I'm talking about it is I don't get it. Like, they probably selling these to a lot of women because most of the majority of them are like, you know, male players. But I don't really care. You know, Julian Edelman, Ezekiel Elliott. Ooh, all right. Oh, Christine Enis. She's adaptive sports. I guess she lost a leg, so she's on there rock climbing. The one, Julie Ertz, she plays soccer, and Zach Ertz, obviously y'all know who Zach Ertz is. Malachi Fikitoa. Obviously, he's probably like Polynesian or Tongan or something like that. He plays rugby. Gus Kenworthy for free skiing. And Nike, I know who this girl is. I just can't pronounce her name. She played basketball, WNBA. Oh, they got Isaiah Thomas on here. Joe Thornton.
Thomas the Celtic.
Celtic, dude, no, who, come on, bro, really? Really?
I'm like, they got Zeke in there, what?
So really? Old as his, I don't know, look.
His old ass, nigga.
The whole U.S. women national hockey team.
Okay, I might look at that.
Ashley Wagner, figure skating. Michelle.
Okay.
Michelle Watterson, MMA.
I haven't seen her yet.
Novaline William Mills, track and field. Caroline Wozniacki, tennis. And that's it. So 16 athletes. I'm not even going to get into the issue itself, but I think I checked it out one year. I opened it up, and I was like, yeah, I want to see this. But, yeah, oh, breaking news. On Rat Pack Sports Show, breaking news. So everybody on WBLZ, Rat Pack Radio, and FM 102.1, the left field correspondent, Carlton Cook, has more breaking news. Jets and Bills emerge teams and still expect to go 4-12.
You know, I was watching NFL Live Monday. And they were given their division predictions for the AFC and NFC East. And Darren Sharper picked the Buffalo Bills to finish in second place.
Who paid him? Hold on. You said Darren Sharper?
Yeah.
Is he back on the air?
Yeah, well, is it Darren Sharper?
No, it can't be, dude. Darren Sharper got convicted.
He got convicted, not Darren Sharper. What's his freaking name? He used to play for the Cowboys.
Oh, Darren Woodson.
Darren Woodson.
Okay.
Yeah, Darren Woodson.
I'm about to say, because unless they doing live shows from in between the jail cell walls.
No, Darren Woodson.
Jameis Sharper ain't on the air, buddy.
Darren Woodson picked the Buffalo Bills to finish second in the AFC East.
No. I got New England, Miami, in that order. And then there, Bills and Jets. That's the order.
That's how they finished last year.
Yeah. I don't see the Bills a better team than the Dolphins.
I don't see the the Dolphins, I think, could have a chance at winning that division.
Look, I was just about to say, because they gave the Patriots all they can handle in them games they played them last season.
Right.
I mean,
right. I think they're a better football team this year. They made some good moves. You know, they're going to be strong on offense because Tannehill is going to be back. I think Tannehill is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league right now.
Dude, I've been saying this since Tannehill came into the league. I don't know what. I have friends that are Dolphins fans, and some of them don't even like Tannehill. I'm looking at them like, what? Look at this guy's numbers since year one up to now. He's gotten better every single year. His numbers has went up. Completion percentage, touchdowns, interceptions down, yards passing up. Every year he's gotten better. I'm like, he's one of the least appreciated starting quarterbacks in the whole league. And really, when you look at his numbers, you can put him in that top 15 category. He's in that top 15. So I don't know what so many people don't like about Tannehill. Maybe because he's not real flashy. He just goes out there, gets the job done. You know, but yeah, I mean, Tannehill is a good quarterback, man.
Do you know how close he came to being a Redskin?
On draft night? No, I don't.
Very close. If Mike Shanahan would have had his way, they would have stayed at 6.
Oh.
Not made the RG3 trade.
They would have been better off.
They would have stayed at 6, not made the RG3 trade, and drafted Ryan Tannehill at 6. That's what Shanahan wanted. Dan Schneider wanted to make the splash and sell the farm and get RG3.
Daniel Snyder, he's going to be Jerry Jones in 10 or 15 years. Because he does some selfish stuff himself. So, obviously,
he's learned to take a step back.
Yeah, but I mean, you look
Whereas
at this whole,
Jerry is taking a step forward.
Yeah, you look at this situation, though, that they're going through with Collins. Like, if I'm the owner of the Redskins, and I see what's going on with Collins, I'm going to my management and I'm telling them, look, if you don't lock this guy up, your job is on the line. Because who are you gonna find better than him right now?
Nobody.
I mean,
there's nobody better on. Well, okay, I shouldn't say. I feel we all know, everybody who listens to Rat Pack, anybody who follows me knows, you know, my affiliation with the Redskins, knows that I am strong about Kirk Cousins. Now, there are some people who think that if you put Kirk Cousins in a different system other than Jay Gruden's, that Kirk Cousins would fail. I don't see it.
I don't believe that, because I think
I think if he goes to San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan, which was the system he played in for 2 years prior to the Shanahan being released, I think he will succeed in San Francisco. Cousins is a student of the game. He understands the game. He understands what it takes. He felt last year that he got off to a slow start because he put so much time into the playbook in the offseason and didn't put as much time into his field work and his mechanics that he should have. He self-criticizes very much. He's a student of the game. He understands the game. He knew that he needed to fix himself and the turnovers that he was creating in 2014, 2015. He knew he needed to fix that, and he did. He went to John Gruden's quarterback camp and did some extra work with some of the rookies down there. He went and saw John Gruden. That made him a better quarterback, he feels. I think it made him a better quarterback. We all know what happened in 2015 in Game 7 against the Bucks.
You like that?
You like that, exactly. You like that game. And from then on, Kirk Cousins has been a top five quarterback in the National Football League. He finished fourth last year behind Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees.
Yeah, yep.
That's good company. And you've got to pay this kid, and you screwed up 2 years ago at the end of his rookie deal in 2015, where you could have had him for $20 million a year. You could have had him then for that much. 2016, you could have had him going into last year. You probably could have had him for close to $22 million a year, but you wanted to lowball him and try to get him for like less than $20 million. That doesn't work. You know, you took a chance in 2016. That he would better himself.
Yeah.
He bettered himself. He threw for nearly 4,900 yards.
Yep.
You've got to pay this kid. Otherwise, you are starting over.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's too much talent on this team to start over.
Nah, they too far along, man. And I mean, we've been on this subject, you know, the whole offseason. And That's the move that can't be made. Like, that's why I say if I'm Daniel Snyder, I'm going to management and I'm telling them flat out, if you cannot get a deal done and keep Kirk Cousins here, if he leaves, you might as well be packing your bags because you're going right behind him. That's it. I mean, that's he's that valuable. I mean, you can't. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what they're looking for anymore because he's proven what he can do these last 2.5 seasons. So, what are you waiting for? A third season for him to do well? I mean, if he ain't signed by the end of this season, he ain't coming back.
That's what a lot of people feel, and I think a lot of people think that they could reach that they might be able to get something done in February, March.
That's too late to me, man.
That's too late. I mean, you have the option of giving a third franchise tag. You give him a third franchise tag, okay? What leads him to want to sign for less than the franchise tag?
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta figure out, okay, this year he's playing on $24 million. Last year he played on $20 million. Now in 2018, if he franchise tagged again, he's playing on $33
million. Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the option where they can transition tag him at a lesser price. I think it's only $28 million if they were to transition tag him. But I mean, Kirk Cousins has all the power. He's playing, you know, he doesn't want to play for less than the franchise tag. I don't blame him. He makes a lot of money there. $24 million, $20 million in 16, $44 million over the last two seasons. You give him another 33, that's, you know, that's $77 million in the last 3 years.
Yeah, a lot of money.
That's a lot of money that you have just forked out, and it's all 100% guaranteed.
Yep.
And that is where And I think that is where a lot of the holdup is coming, is in the guaranteed money. They're offering, maybe they are offering, you know, 5 years, $130 million. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, that's great. That's great. Now, where's the guaranteed money? Are we sitting at 60 guaranteed? Are we sitting at 75 guaranteed? Are we sitting at, you know, 80 guaranteed? Where's the guaranteed money? And that's, we're not hearing that portion of the contract talks. Where is the holdup in this thing? How far off are the Redskins and Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, yeah.
When are we? And that's a thing. And I'm hoping by July 17th, you know, here in a couple weeks, that we have some numbers that were offered. And, you know, we know where we're sitting in this thing if he doesn't sign before then.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. Very interesting to see what happens in that situation. I guarantee you there's going to be some teams watching that very closely. If he isn't able to reach a deal and hit the free agency market, it's going to be a frenzy for him. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see, you know, how this whole situation shakes out, because I don't think a lot of people trust, you know, the Washington Redskins front office at this point with that whole situation with Kirk Cousins. But that's going to do it for us here. We're at the end of the show, and, you know, time flies when you're having fun. So those of you listening on WBLZ Sports, appreciate you tuning in every week. Appreciate everybody over there at WBLZ for allowing us to be on the network. Want to send a huge shout out to my man Tommy over in Governor's Park for hooking us up down there and allowing us to be on the airwaves down there in the FM 102.1 Governor's Park. Man, stand up, downtown Denver. And also everybody here that's tuning in on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR every week, man. Appreciate y'all listening as well. Appreciate Gabriel Barman calling in earlier. Nicholas Lane with the excellent conversation. And my man on the line with us now, Mr. Sean Naylor, for his, contributions to the show. And left field correspondent who came in with the snap of a finger. And just that fast, he was going like the Flash. So, so that's going to do it for us here. Sean Naylor, man, if you want to give everybody out your contact info where they can reach you if they want to, talk some more NFL or, hey, pretty soon, fantasy football.
Amen. Amen. You guys can reach me on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram on @ NFLINSC. You can also follow me along at the Inscriber magazine for articles on the NFL. And soon, like Derek said, we'll be posting our articles for fantasy football right here on the Rat Pack Sports website as well. So keep an eye out for those, and, you know, follow us over at the Inscriber as well.
All right, man. Well, for everybody there, you can reach me on Twitter @ Token Wild. Also follow us @ Rat Pack Sports. You can also, follow us on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show, Facebook group. Go head over, like our pages, Rat Pack Sports Show on Facebook as well. So with that being said, that's going to do it for us here tonight on the Rat Pack Sports Show. And, hey, we enjoyed the show. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll catch everybody next week. This is Rat Pack Sports Show, Wednesday night.